And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiocco now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's take our pick in the world of soccer, the world of football. So much to talk about. The lead story tonight, the Houston Dash winning the NWSL Challenge Cup. It was drama to finish the Premier League, as always, and great drama with an American twist, by the way. We discuss it tonight. The MLS's back tournament continuing on. We'll speak about that tonight. We've got a lot of great guests tonight, but a lot of this will be around, especially in the second hour, the celebration of the Dash winning the NWSL Challenge Cup in real style. Shea Groom will join the show. Rachel Daly. We'll do a segment with both of them. Then we'll have on the head coach, James Clarkson. And it was a journey, that tournament. And I think there was a lot found out amongst this team. And I think we connected with that. The grit, the determination, the desire, something we have not seen in Dash teams to this level. And that has changed in this tournament. This could be the impetus and the platform for really turning the corner. The only thing I wish is, I wish there was an NWSL season following this up. Because it's a long way off, 2021. Jason Longshore of the Atlanta United, he's the Atlanta United color analyst on the radio network 92.9 The Game. He's also the host of Soccer Down Under. He's going to come on. We're going to talk about Atlanta United, some rumors around them player-wise, and a number of other things. Eddie Robinson, next segment, is going to join me. We're going to talk a little bit about MLS is back, also the Premier League as well. We'll take your phone call, 713-780-3776. Eddie and I are going to go over our big winners at the MLS is back tournament and maybe some of the losers down there as well. It's been agony and ecstasy, I think, for fans. But this whole notion that these tournaments don't mean anything, that's... Anybody who says that is probably a part of a team that didn't do very well in it, or is a part of a fan base of a team that didn't do very well in it. There is always something to take out of this, especially during this time period where, you know, MLS is hoping to play 12 to 18 games coming up. NWSL, you know, you don't want to go the next couple of months not having had a good tournament. That's why this is so uplifting for the Houston Dash and winning that tournament. By the way, in the knockout stages, they did not concede a single goal. So that tells you something very different, because it was a journey and it was an odyssey throughout the tournament for the Dash. They started off scoring 5 goals in the first 2 games, very open games. I wouldn't say they were the most tactical of games, but you got 5 goals out of Christy Mewis, Rachel Daly, Shea Groom. You got a glimpse of Groom. You got a glimpse of a very healthy Mewis. And you got a glimpse of Rachel Daly finally with some support and not being a one-woman show. And not the predictable Dash, you know, hey, direct to Rachel Daly. That's our real option. So a lot really changed in a positive way for James Clarkson. Congratulations to him. Game 3 and 4 in the first round, some changes were made. Not their better games. Not creating the chances they did in game 1 and 2. And then the big question for me, and you can look in my Cushata keys to the game, the question for me was, you know, is this team going to find some team shape? And lo and behold, they found it from the very first game on. More compact, team that was next to each other, did not get opened up, defended beautifully, and really the defending collective nature of their game is really what the story was. And I think if you can be like that, and you do have those attacking talents, who cares about getting a U.S. international down here? Or maybe you do. But tremendous win and a tremendous navigation of the tournament and a tremendous, okay, here were our 4 games in the first round. We know we're in the knockout stage. What do we need to add to our game in the final couple games? And a lot of this comes down to also to the player acquisitions by James Clarkson and staff. Megan Oyster, you know, at the back, central pairing, Katie Naughton, big upgrade. You've got additional attacking elements with Shea Groom. By the way, the way she took her second goal was just kind of effortless. Self-pass around Nayer, hits an empty net. So exciting times for the Houston Dash, and we're going to celebrate it tonight with Shea Groom, Rachel Daly, and James Clarkson. As mentioned, Jason Longshore will be on the show. We're going to talk about Atlanta United. Interesting thing with them. Premier League final day was on Sunday. It was delicious. Exciting, tempting. It was dangerous. It was a sway of emotions like always. All this stuff packaged in one. Depending on what team you supported or just as an out-and-out fan of the league. So at the end of the day, Liverpool, they obviously ran away with things. They're going to take home everything. Remarkable season. Big shout out to our guys at Hugh O'Connor's and the Liverpool supporters group in Houston. City was locked into second place. Their biggest issue was obviously not being condemned and fined for the accusations against them when it came to FIFA fair play. So they were second place. Manchester United in third place. Now, I was over there at the end of December. End of November, beginning of December. That was a pretty dark and gloomy place. There was not a lot of love for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It was a team in search of a leader. Didn't have one. It was a fan base that was not happy. And in fact, Manchester United teammates of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer were critical of him. And I would say mostly Gary Neville. Most other guys were pretty respectful. But Neville was really taking a go at him, which I, you know, look, I understand he's a journalist now and that you do have to have an opinion, but I just thought he might have softened it up a little bit. After all, you went to war with this guy. You were teammates. You won things. And look where they are now. How about that? You know, probably some of 80 to 90 million now collected because you have qualified for the Champions League. So the question is now for Manchester United and Chelsea, what are you going to do? And what is the plan to narrow the gap between Liverpool and Manchester City? And that is clearly going to come from acquisitions and transfer markets. And we've had a lot of players associated with United, a lot with Chelsea. Lampard's job, also fantastic with Chelsea. And, of course, we in America now have one of our guys that we can root for week in and week out at a big-name club, Chelsea. And that's with all due respect to all the great American players who did so much over there. John Hark started it off at Sheffield Wednesday. You know, Tim Howard with his unbelievable career there. Brad Friedel, Casey Keller. We can go on and on. Brian McBride. Clint Dempsey. I mean, these guys are legends for going over there, a place where there's no respect for you, and carving out great careers. And Christian Pulisic, by the way, the guy who wanted him to come to Chelsea was then manager Maurizio Sarri. That's the reason, one of the reasons I am told that Christian Pulisic picked Chelsea. And then you got to come in and you got to prove yourself to another manager in Frank Lampard, a Chelsea legend, also a Chelsea legend that achieved great success with Mason Mount and others. By the way, let's run that Mason Mount goal. Chelsea did not particularly play well in this game, but they did enough to get that fourth Champions League spot.
Looks like Mason Mount. It's an absolute beauty! What a shot, what a free kick from Mason Mount to give Chelsea the lead at the end of the first half.
Well, that was Mason Mount. By the way, don't you just love that Camden cheering there? Still mixed on that. I love, when it comes to MLS's back, I'll take ESPN and No sound. But I do understand how people do like sound. But I like hearing the discussions. All right, and then the guy who really turned around Manchester United, we all know that. That's Bruno Fernandes. That signing changed the course of United this year. That signing is so critical, and that guy will downplay it. That's the type of teammate he is. That's the type of player he is. He's constantly, when he's interviewed or somebody's trying to pin him down to put the blame on something or someone, constantly defending his teammates. This guy's a leader. He was from the moment he stepped on the field for them. Let's go back to the penalty kick that did it for Manchester United by Bruno Fernandes against Leicester.
Fernandes, hop and a skip and a goal. They've got 1 foot in the Champions League, Manchester United. The man that's made all the difference in the second half of the season, Bruno Fernandes, scores it.
Indeed he has. Indeed he has. He has been unbelievable to watch. And, you know, when you look at sports teams and the dynamics of them and you know, you look for things that could be the impetus. And coaches do this. They're not going to admit it, but they look for moments that could galvanize the team and take them to another level. Something outside of their control that comes organically through the playing of the game. Or a performance from a player, or a signing or an acquisition. Houston Dash, NWSL Challenge Cup. Penalty kicks. Now, some would say that's 50-50. I'm not sure when Jane Campbell's in goal because she's a penalty kick specialist. But that was galvanizing, winning in penalties. 0-0, you go to penalties. Think how different it'd be right now if the Dash didn't win on penalties. People would be conditioning this tournament as not a success, including Dash fans. They would say, it's a lot of positives, hope for the future. Instead, now we're talking about them being champions. And I believe that penalty kick match with Jane Campbell and the Dash converting penalties, that basically set the wheels in motion to run the table. After that game, I said, Dash, to myself, the Dash are going to win this tournament. They're going to be the champions. Based on looking at the other teams, based on looking who's available, and based on who's got the best collective team spirit at the moment. And that's exactly what they did. So Manchester United beat Leicester City behind Bruno and Jesse Lingard. Now, Lingard hadn't scored a goal in 18 months. Now, he's had some off-field problems. He's opened up about these struggles a lot. Says he was lost as a player in person during the 2019-20 campaign. He had some issues going on with family. He had to take care of family members. So it was hard on this guy. I don't know if he's going to remain around. And, you know, these are the things we sometimes don't know. We might see somebody with a sour face on the field and go, what's wrong with this guy? And we don't know what's going on off the field. So you always have to factor that in. And that's the other reason why I'm very impressed with all the NWSL teams and the league and Major League Soccer. All the players and coaches and people involved with this. There's a lot of people that will never get a pat on the back for what they're doing in these tournaments as far as protocol, putting the tournament together, making sure it flows. There are a lot of unsung heroes that are never going to get a pat on the back. But the way the players and the coaches and things visible to us have handled themselves, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So for Manchester United, Champions League football, big news. They need depth. I think they need another wing back. Do the outside backs have to be better? You know, I guess the standard bearers here are Liverpool. You're going to compare them to Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, which those two guys, remarkable. Probably want another center back, right? You want to move McGuire to the right, get a left-footed center back. It's important. Goalkeeper. De Gea. Talk about a guy who's looked like there's something wrong. Last 18 months has not been good for David De Gea, and he was at the top of the game in the world. And going into these last couple games, I was saying to myself, I'm concerned that a singular mistake from David De Gea could cost Manchester United Champions League football. Didn't. So who do you sell? Lingard, Pereira, Smalling? Smalling, Rojo, Alexis, all are out on loan. Targets we've heard mentioned, Jadon Sancho, Jack Grealish from Aston Villa. Villa stayed up. Those villains. Our three champions in the world, Spain, it's Real Madrid. England, it's Liverpool. Germany, it's Bayern Munich. 713-780-3776. Best season for you? Real Madrid, Liverpool, or Bayern Munich? It's one we can talk about. Which title was the most impressive and why? Dynamo exited the MLS is back tournament. Late goal, penalty, Christian Pavone. Tab Ramos saying the work ethic is there. He's happy with that. It's a work in progress. I don't think any question with a new coach. Assessing players, building relationships, figuring out the future. But there is a youth movement. You can call it a revolution if you want when it comes to the Dynamo. More signings. We're going to talk about one of those tonight. An 18-year-old that's going to go to RGV. He's an under-20 national team player. Name, Ian Hoffman. Taking a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Now, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Look, we don't want you to get in an accident, but if you do, you got to get representation. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 in Houston and Horn FM in Austin. Break time, Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, color analyst on the TV broadcast, coming up next.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hi, I'm Mark Hughes, Stoke City manager, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
That was a flashback when Mark Hughes was the Stoke City manager, but when we hear his voice, think of an unbelievable striker. Harder They Come, Jimmy Cliff. That was a great movie. I don't know if anybody ever saw that. But that's Jimmy Cliff, some old school great reggae. The harder they come, the harder they fall. It's a good one. That's actually a very appropriate song for our next guest, Eddie Robinson. Former Dynamo defender joins us right now. You see him as the color analyst on Dynamo TV broadcast. Eddie, good evening.
What's happening, Glenn?
Great to have you on the show. It's been a bit of a while here since, actually, we've seen each other, but we have had some contact during COVID-19, checking on each other. Eddie's interview brought to you, by the way, by Lustau Vermouth, great in a gin and tonic, great over ice, and with club soda, whether it's the white, the Rojo, or the rosé. I do it with my favorite gin, over ice, and a great tonic water, and then a little break of an orange peel to get that essence and oil in there. It's a really refreshing drink. So our thanks to Lustau Vermouth. All right, Eddie, let's get started here. I want to start first on the Premier League, the finish to the league. A couple months ago, would you have thought Manchester United would have ended up third and in a Champions League place?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely not. But the addition of Bruno Fernandes, my gosh, what an amazing turnaround that they had. I mean, you look at, you know, they were, 14, 16, 18 points behind Leicester City. Leicester City had a plus 20 goal differential. I think it was 14 or 16 in front of Man United, and now here they are finishing third place. It's a testament to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his trust in the players. And, you know, you look at Pogba. Pogba was injured for so long, and then when he's come back, and Rashford and Mason Greenwood, how many goals he scored. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And now, you know, they're looking to add some players. Jack Grealish possibly is out there. Jan Oblak is a goalkeeper. As David De Gea is struggling quite a bit, surprisingly. It was quite the turnaround. It was extremely impressive, and there's a lot of Manchester United fans out there who are breathing a sigh of relief, saying, okay, normality has finally been restored.
If you were to lean on the increased, you know, Pogba's situation was very interesting because he made it very clear he wanted to leave. He was throwing his toys out of the sandbox quite a bit. People were mixed about him, whether he could be brought back into the fold mentally, whether he wouldn't. Bruno gets signed. All of a sudden, he seems a bit more interested. He may know that he's not going to be able to potentially leave during the transfer market based on the size of the money wanted for him. Do you think he's there to stay mentally? And how much of that was around maybe just the pure joy out of playing the game with Bruno and having Bruno take some pressure off of you?
Paul Pogba wants to win. Everywhere he's ever been, he's won. He's a winner. And when he's not, I think his ego gets a little bit in the way. He's pragmatic. He wants to whine. He wants to complain. He wants the attention. I think that's what you have to deal with when you have Paul Pogba as part of your team. When he's happy, he's playing well. When he's playing well, your team is winning games. He's getting assists. He's scoring goals. He's a very, very important part. But when he's not happy, of course he's going to whine and complain and want to go somewhere where he's going to win games. So I think that the signing of Bruno Fernandes, the attacking prowess that Man United has shown, especially in the run of play, you know, it's not – obviously I saw today they've had more penalty kicks this year than any team in the history of Premier League in the season. I think it was 14, but just these last couple months, just the combination play with Martial and with Rashford and with Greenwood and with Pogba and Fernandes has been such a joy to watch. And when you're having fun, you're happy. When you're winning, you're happy. And I think that was the biggest problem for Pogba. I think he was frustrated. He was upset. He was injured. He couldn't participate. He couldn't contribute. And now you see everything has changed. And I think he's happy. And I think that this is the Pogba that you're going to continue to see. And I think that Manchester United are only going to get better.
Former Houston Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson, league all-star, MLS Cup winner. Let's continue on with the thought process around Manchester United, because I also think the fan base now, because of that football that you just described, you know, some of the wonderful passages of play, build-up, movement, mobility, ball being circulated, so different than what we saw under the prior managers, including David Moyes, Louis van Gaal, of course, Jose Mourinho. I think that's significant to the Manchester United fan base. Also, not only do you have to win and win all the time, but you also have to play the game the right way. And I think that's a big, big message that's been sent here also to the fan base that, look, we're playing football, the way the Busby Babes did, the way we are known to play the game.
Yeah, of course. And, I mean, you can even go back to Giggs, Beckham, Scholes, Cole, York, Cantona. Back in those, you know, the late 90s, mid-90s, late 90s, how enjoyable it was to watch. I mean, it's the same thing when you watch Liverpool. It's enjoyable. It's fun to watch. It's fast-paced. It's exciting. That's fun. Now, you're going to have teams out there like, you know, Sheffield United that are going to get wins. They're terrible to play against. You hate playing against them. They will fight you. They will mash you. They will bash you. They will punch you. And they're going to win. It's not always necessarily enjoyable to watch, but they're getting the result. But for the Manchester United fans, what they've come to expect over, since the days of Alex Ferguson, is not just winning games, not just contending for the Premier League Championship, playing in Champions League, but it has to be enjoyable to watch. It has to be exciting, and that's what this Man United group has brought back over the last 2.5 months.
All right, let's switch to MLS is back. And by the way, MLS, there's some breaking news now that Jonathan Gonzalez of Monterrey Rayados is moving to Atlanta United in Major League Soccer. Oh. So after the parting of ways of Frank DeBoer, how quickly Atlanta United has made a move. So I would take you right into that, Eddie. And we have Jason Longshore coming on from the game in Atlanta right after you. But I'd take you right into that. That seems like something that a big club in Europe would do. You know what? Bad tournament. Coach gone. We're moving on. Our fans are demanding something better. That is the healthy pressure that all Major League Soccer teams want.
Well, they've set a standard, haven't they, from day one. Now, the fortunate thing for them was they had Tata Martinez. They had Joseph Martinez, who was has been absolutely just a devastating loss for Atlanta United going into this tournament. But then when you look at the guys like Julian Gressel, Michael Parkhurst, you've got so many great players. And from the time that Frank DeBoer was hired, there were always these rumblings, these quiet rumblings, that the players just didn't get on with him, that they didn't like him, they didn't like his style, but they were winning. There was nothing you could do. But Atlanta United has set a precedent of what they expect out of their team, and that's success. And I think this is a blessing in disguise for Atlanta United, because they've shown with the players, you know, Miguel Almiron, the players that they're willing to pay to bring in, you got to assume that they're going to do the same thing with a coach. They're not going to give somebody their first try and give them a chance. They're going to bring in a top coach, a man manager, somebody that can restore this short history that Atlanta United has already established as being winners. And as you mentioned, the fans, this is what they've come to expect. They've been spoiled, kind of like the Houston Dynamo were in their first 5 years. They were spoiled. Two championships, one four MLS Cup participation. I mean, the fans have been spoiled. This is what they expect now. So I fully expect Carlos Bocanegra and Darren Eales and that group to really go out and make a splash with this next head coach signing. And, you know, we're hearing the rumors that MLS is going to return late August, early September, and play more games. I'd be surprised if they didn't have somebody in place by then.
He's Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender. So to that point, Eddie, there's even more being reported out of Atlanta right now. ESPN Deportes saying that former Houston Dynamo striker Eric Kubo Torres is linked now to return to Atlanta United. Wow. I wonder.
Interesting.
That is more than interesting there. Hey, I wanted to get into MLS's back now. I think the players and the coaches, it's been a wonderful job down there. The execution of this thing under very trying and difficult times has been pretty amazing. Let's go with, give me two of your winners. It can be a player, it can be a team, whatever you want it to be, but give me two of your winners coming out of MLS's back in Orlando.
Well, I'll just go right back to what we said. I think Atlanta United is one. With separation from Frank DeBoer, because if players aren't happy, they're not going to produce. And I think that that's been shown. Now, again, Atlanta United have lost some major players, lost Joseph Martinez. I think that's huge. But when you go back and look at Tata Martinez and how the players just loved him and loved how he coached, loved the way that they played, loved everything about him. And then that changed, and I think you're seeing that. So I think this was a blessing in disguise. I think this is huge for Atlanta United. Now that they aren't in the knockout phase, they get a little bit of a head start on finding a new coach. And I think if they can do that and get the right person in, they're going to get back to their winning ways. And then I look at Columbus and San Jose. They're not sexy. Okay, the Toronto FC is out. New York Red Bull is out. Seattle is out. The sexy team, they're gone. But the team, Columbus hasn't given up a goal until actually, just a few minutes ago. Minnesota's just scored. They're up 1-0 on Columbus. But up to this point, they haven't given up a goal in the tournament. And they've been exciting to watch. Zell Ryan, Giassi Zardes. This is a team that's, I think, a bit under the radar. It's flying under the radar. San Jose Earthquakes. Chris Wondolowski just comes on and keeps scoring. You look at Vaco and what San Jose has done. They're not sexy, but they're doing the job. They're getting the job done. I think this is huge for them. This is huge for their fan bases. I think it's huge for Major League Soccer to start spreading the love a little bit. It's not Toronto. It's not Seattle. Obviously, LAFC is still in it. They're a big name. The LA Galaxy are out, which is disappointing and not up to their standard either. But for me, Atlanta United, opportunity now to get a new coach. And Columbus and San Jose, how solid they've been and how good their performances have been. I expect both of those teams to go quite deep into these playoffs.
All right, so I'm going to go with a couple things. First of all, watching LAFC the other night, I saw a period of about 15, 20 minutes in that game from the start that I never saw the tempo of a game and the speed of play at that level for a sustained period in Major League Soccer by LAFC. Yeah. Now we're talking about LAFC without Carlos Vela. I was at home just going, this is off the charts from speed of play. And it wasn't wild and reckless. I mean, it was passes connecting, people's technique perfect. That blew me away. And that's without Carlos Vela. I think the other thing I'm going to go to, and there's a lot of things we can, but I think it's been opportunity for some new young players that have identified themselves. Ayo Akindola of Toronto FC, 5 goals, 20 years old, can play for Canada, Nigeria, or the United States. He's a U.S. youth product. He's certainly making Josie Altidore think about the future a little bit. Because he's a young version. Aronson in Philadelphia leading a revived Union that I think is now getting respect around the league and certainly I think is a much better team than I've ever seen. To your point about the Red Bulls, not as impressed because, look, they've lost Luis Robles. They've lost the guy that allowed them to play the pressing game in Tyler Adams. They lost Jesse Marsh and Bradley Wright Phillips, and they have not replaced any of those players with anything equal to those. So I think it's a tough hoe for the Red Bulls right now. I think they're going to continue to struggle. So it's been interesting. I wanted to ask you this, Eddie. Who's the preeminent goalkeeper in Major League Soccer right now? Who is it? Because I think goalkeeping has been a weak point of this tournament.
Goalkeeping has been a weak point for the U.S. national team for quite a few years now. I mean, you go back and you know, Zach Steffen, Sean Johnson, a lot of these players, they're super athletic. They make some incredible saves, but they're always good for one or two mistakes. You don't have the Tim Howards anymore. You don't have the Casey Kellers and the Brad Friedels and, you know, the Brad Guzans when he was at his best. Still a great, fantastic goalkeeper. That's a really good question. I think that could be up for debate for quite some time.
Andre Blake in there of Philadelphia because he would have been European bound if Jamaica had been higher ranked in FIFA rankings. So Andre Blake's one to keep an eye on. But you're right. There's a lot of talented guys, but the full package, I don't know. And then there's new guys too. I mean, you got Quinton Westberg in Toronto. The goalkeeper that was linked with the Dynamo, that was who was down at Santos. William Yarborough, who's in Colorado. Yarborough, right? So, yeah, I don't know who stands out. Tim Melia, maybe.
I don't know if you were up late for the late game on Sunday night, the Kansas City-Vancouver game. But I'll tell you what.
Oh, the third-string goalkeeper. Played, yeah.
The young fellow that played for Vancouver, who's like the pool goalkeeper, Thomas Hassel?
Yes.
My goodness.
He had a game.
I mean,
yes, he did.
He eight saves. The kid was quite good.
No, he was awesome, and his eyes looked like saucers. I thought he was going to have a nightmare based on his eyes. He looked really nervous, but he ended up having an unbelievable night.
And when you look at it, you know, now is it time to start looking at some younger goalkeepers around the league and giving them a chance? I mean, you go back. Tim Melia, for me, has been one of the best goalkeepers in the league for a long time. I'm a big fan of his. Boarding KC obviously has a really good one with him. But
he's probably the gold standard right now, wouldn't you say? He's the gold standard.
What's that?
He's probably the gold standard of goalkeepers in Major League Soccer right now, Tim Mealy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the easiest argument to make right now.
Yeah, yeah. Or Andre
Blake,
like
I said, I'm
maybe,
certain that you can make more, but Tim Mealy, for me right now, is probably the best. He's obviously he has the tenure, the years and years and years of being quality, so that would probably be my favorite right now for best. But
and you know, we have to mention
night.
Steve Clark in Portland too. He's been good.
And
let me switch over to the Dynamo.
Throw Stephen Fry in there.
Yep.
Let's
go over to the Dynamo now. Let's talk a little Dynamo. Yeah. Your thoughts on their three games out there?
Such a promising first 60 minutes of the MLS's back tournament. Really giving LAFC all they could handle, but always comes back to bite them, giving away late goals. Again, the game against LA Galaxy is win or lose, win or go home, and they had it until the 88th minute. And a silly penalty, and that's that, and they go home. It's the Dynamo right now, I think, are in a pretty precarious situation. You've got Todd Ramos, who I actually kind of feel bad for, because he was given this team that he didn't build, players that he didn't choose, and had to make the most of it with very little time to prepare, given all the COVID issues and, you know, all this time that they weren't able to be together going into this tournament. And you've got a group of 11, 12, 13 players that they can compete, but when you look at it, you got to make the playoffs. And now looking at Albert Elise, I think it's inevitable that he will be gone. I think Dynamo made a mistake not getting something for him when they could and trying to spend that money on other young talent. You know, I mean, who's going to follow in Mara Minota's footsteps if he keeps scoring and playing the way that he's going? But if you don't have wide play that can provide Mara Minota's with service, he's going to struggle to score goals. And when you lose Albert Elise, you've lost Romelu Kyoto. Obviously, Memo Rodriguez has come in and done really well. And you've got some aging players in Boniac Garcia. And it's going to be interesting. I think the Dynamo need to act, and they need to act fast. They need to find some players, some younger players in the midfield and in the attack that can help score goals. And you look at Alejandro Funmayor. What happened to him? I mean, if Manor Figueroa is not starting against LA Galaxy, you might think, well, that's probably who's going to come in. And you see Victor Cabrera in there, who did okay. Didn't do terrible, but, you know, you look at Manor Figueroa and Kiki Struner, not young, not getting younger. So I think the Dynamo have a lot of issues that they need to address, and they need to address them soon. Hopefully, Tab Ramos has a significant say in the players that the Dynamo bring in moving forward. I hope for his sake, because I like him a lot. I think he's a great guy. He's extremely intelligent. He knows the game really well. He's got a fantastic staff with him. So I really hope that the Dynamo can bring in some players, because they're going to need to. They're going to need to score more goals. They're going to need to stop giving up so many. And
yeah,
easier
I think
said than done. But
yeah. I think Dynamo fans see it in the context of the big picture over the last couple of years and might lose a little focus on exactly what you said, that this is a team that's been inherited. I think one thing we do see is a move towards signing very young players, and that's likely the model for the Dynamo in the future. And I think you bring up a lot of very, very good points here. I mean, I don't know if the pieces all fit to play in a 4-3-3 right now. It makes it a little bit difficult. And really, the Dynamo spent that whole second half really defending very deep against the LA Galaxy. But, Eddie, we're up on a hard break. It's great to hear your voice. Great having you back on. We'll get you back on again real soon. And thank you for all the insight tonight.
Look forward to it, Glenn. Good to talk to you, buddy.
All right. Stop posting those good pictures of sandwiches. I saw one pop up on my phone at a weird hour when I was very hungry, and it hurt me. It hurt me.
I will continue to do such.
Why did I know that was coming? All right, that's Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, also the color analyst. on Houston Dynamo broadcasts. All right, we're taking the break with the script here. Again, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual. You get in an accident, you're going to want to call them. 713-322-HURT. By the way, put Daspit Law on your phone, 713-322-HURT. That way, if anything happens, you got the number right there. You can take care of the situation. DaspitLaw.com. They love the game of soccer. They are keeping this show on the air, and they are keeping this show on the air in Austin, Texas as well. When we come back, Jason Longshore, lots of things happening in Atlanta. Frank DeBoer relieved of his duties as the head coach. Jonathan Gonzalez now set to be an Atlanta United player, it seems. And Kubo Torres being linked to Atlanta United. More to come. Jason Longshore from The Game coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
Quick word here for Lustau Vermouth, who's going to bring you the La Liga update. Lustau Vermouth, great over ice or with tonic or club soda or my favorite way, paired with my favorite gin in a gin and tonic with a little orange peel to get that great essence and oil of the orange. Incredibly refreshing. It's also refreshing, Lustau Vermouth. Whether in the white, the rosé, or the rojo, over ice with a little club soda or tonic, make sure you ask for Lustau Vermouth at your local liquor store. And the La Liga update brought to you by them. Last week we talked about the goal-scoring leaders in La Liga. Well, this week we're talking about the assist leaders. Lionel Messi of Barcelona led the way with 21 assists. Mikel Yarzabal of Real Sociedad with 11, Santi Cazorla of Villarreal with 9, Luis Suarez of Barcelona with 8, Robert Torres of Osasuna with 8, along with Karim Benzema with 8, and Christian Portugues at Real Sociedad with 8. That is the Lustau Vermouth La Liga update. Lustau Vermouth, ask for it at your local liquor store. All right, with that, we go down to Atlanta. Lots going on around Atlanta right now. We bring in Jason Longshore of The Game in Atlanta, great friend of this show, guy that I really enjoy listening to. He's the color analyst on Atlanta United radio broadcasts on 92.9 The Game, also the host of Soccer Down Under. Jason, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I couldn't time a guest any better than this with all the things that are going around Atlanta United right now. So before we even get to Frank DeBoer, can you give us some of the updates that we've been seeing on ESPN Deportes and other places about Jonathan Gonzalez of Monterrey and then, of course, the former Houston Dynamo striker Kubo Torres?
Yeah, it's all rumored at this point. Jonathan Gonzalez is being rumored to be leaving Monterrey. He posted what you could see as a goodbye to the club before tonight's match. Looks like, according to Mexican media, it would be a loan with an option to buy. He hasn't seen the field a ton for Monterrey recently, you know, in their league play. Kubo Torres is an interesting one because he's out of contract. He's free. He's available on a free. The player's had success in MLS. And as you know, Atlanta United is missing their number nine right now in Joseph Martinez. So if you're trying to get better at that position, maybe in the short term, Kubo Torres could be a possibility.
And maybe economical as well, but that's a roll of dice, I think, based on what we saw down here in Houston.
I'd agree. He's available on a free, so I think it makes it maybe a good attempt to roll the dice. But yeah, it's going to be a question on does it fit.
Yeah, we could get into that, but we won't. But there's no doubt Kubo Torres.
Later, if that move comes to
fruition. You definitely can do that. There's some things. But there's no doubt he does possess talent. All right, let's go to Frank DeBoer. What more can you tell us about, you know, him being relieved of his duties or mutually leaving, or was he just simply fired?
I think it's the middle option there. I really do. This came about fairly suddenly on Friday. You know, according to some of the team staff that we interact with from the broadcast side, you know, this was sudden. They knew about 45 minutes before it was announced. So I didn't expect it on Tuesday after calling the Columbus match and doing all the post game for our radio and for the team on their digital platforms. Didn't expect it to be this sudden. You know, I think it was kind of obvious that if things didn't change, it would more than likely happen at the end of the year. Some of the interesting things that Darren Eales has said as he's made the rounds in Atlanta media, he used the term general direction of travel. He said that it wasn't just about the Orlando tournament. It's more about where the team is headed or has been headed. And look, it's been challenging this year. I mean, it's challenging for everybody. You're dealing with things from a coaching perspective and a preparation perspective that you've just never dealt with. That makes it harder. In Atlanta, you're dealing with the loss of Joseph Martinez. That obviously complicates things. You had a lot of new faces come into the team this year, and some of them came right before the pandemic hit. So you didn't have a whole lot of time to kind of bring them into the team. It never clicked. It never clicked this year. Last year with Frank DeBoer was a different story. It was inconsistent, but I thought the team had some really good highs. I thought the week where they won the Campeones Cup, they beat New York City and Portland, really good soccer, and I think it showed what Frank was trying to accomplish here in Atlanta with this team with a style of play. It just didn't happen consistently enough. And why is the big question? Because there's a lot of talent in this team, and that's probably one of the reasons that Darren Eales had the conversation with Frank on Friday that ended with a mutual parting of the ways.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United color analyst on the radio network 92.9 The Game, also the host of Soccer Down Under. So let's go back to DeBoer. His career as a manager, and look, we know where he was as a player. I mean, there's no, that name is a big name in Dutch soccer. Very successful with Ajax. Not very successful at Inter Milan. Not very successful at Crystal Palace. If you look back on this, how big of a risk was this, this type of a hire based on what he had done at Inter Milan and Crystal Palace?
I think it was a risk. I don't think it was as big of a risk as some thought coming in, because Atlanta United, even in a short period of time, is not like Crystal Palace in terms of hiring Frank DeBoer to radically change the way that they play and then getting cold feet 5 weeks in. It's not like Inter Milan was at the time, which was incredibly dysfunctional. I think DeBoer was hired a couple weeks before the season started, had one preseason game. It was a very late opening. He took that opportunity after 6 years at Ajax, where he had a lot of success. Atlanta United was a different situation, and I think the way that this is being painted as a failure is incorrect. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the third team in the league last year. It was a team that was third in scoring in the league last year. It was a team that won the Open Cup, a team that beat Club America in the Campeones Cup, a team that
was a huge win.
That honestly, was a couple of great goals away from the MLS Cup final. It would have been at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was close.
Yeah, no, I don't either, but I think it's also part and parcel of now this incredible bar that's been raised down there. And I think the other thing that was surprising was, and you mentioned this, Jason, was that, you know, look, COVID-19 is a great excuse for a lot of things. How could you, you know, how could there be a problem with the manager in this tournament? I mean, what can we really expect? No Joseph Martinez, you know, so some of that comes into play. And the other thing is, was he brought here? And was he told, we want you to continue the Tata Martino way, or was that sort of expected, or was he allowed to come here and try to groom this club a little bit more with the affinity of the tactics that he wanted to implore?
That's a good question. I would assume the latter to a degree, because of, when he came in, he put an emphasis on improving the team defensively, which was something that needed to be done. It was something that Tata Martino talked about throughout 2018. And if you go back and you look at the way the team played down the stretch versus the way they played in the postseason, Tata Martino turned Atlanta United into a defend and counter team. They had never really been in the 2 years that he was here. Frank DeBoer came in wanting to improve that, maybe spent too much time on that, maybe didn't build that relationship with the players, and there's a great article over at The Athletic from Felipe Cardenas, Paul Tenorio, that goes into some of those behind-the-scenes issues. that relationship, that trust that I think was a huge factor of what Atlanta United had with Tata Martino, never developed with Frank DeBoer. It never felt like the roster and the technical staff were on the same page. It felt like they found it at times. And there were some really good runs last year. There was a run where they didn't concede a goal in five matches. There was the run in the second half where they were scoring a ton of goals. Joseph Martinez was scoring in every match. But it never was consistently as good as it should have been, in my opinion. It just never quite got there. And when you get to this point, there are a lot of things that factor into the way the team has played in 2020. And you just can't discount losing a player like Joseph Martinez. But if you don't feel like it's going to get there, and it wasn't there consistently last year with all the pieces, this is kind of an interesting time to make a change, because this season is a very strange one to begin with. We don't know what it's going to look like in the rest of the season. We don't know how many games you're going to see. Reports you're going to start in about 3 to 4 weeks. We don't know what that's going to look like. Now is the time where, because of Atlanta United 2 being in existence, you have a manager in Steven Glass who can come in, has worked with this group. He knows this group. He can be that steady hand that Darren Eales has talked about over the last couple of days, while you go and you can search to find the right fit for what you want to do going forward.
Talking to Jason Longshore here, very, very up on Atlanta United. He is a color analyst on their 92.9 The Game broadcast and the host of Soccer Down Under. I want to take you back to DeBoer, though, because I think the question is why. Why was there that disconnect between the staff and the players? Look, we know what a man manager Tata Martino is. I had tons of discussions with Dario Sala about how he brought everybody in. DeBoer may be culturally very different. I don't know. But why do you think that was? You watched them train. You watched them interact with players. Did he speak to players a lot? Was he engaging like that? Was he an upbeat personality? What type of manager was he? Or was he just simply autocratic and off to himself?
I think he really tried. I do think he put forth an effort. Now, I go back to a quote that Julian Gressel gave, and I can't remember the outlet, fairly early last season. And Gressel talked about how there was a family feeling with the club, with Tata Martino. It definitely had that feel of a South American club. With Frank, he was around more, and he was more just there to talk. But it didn't ever get to that comfortable feeling. It never really looked comfortable. And we heard the chirping going on from players, Pitti Martinez speaking to Argentine media, Leandro Gonzalez Pires at the MLS All-Star game. Different things happened throughout the year, and it did seem to rally late, but it just never felt the same. And I don't know if it's something, chemistry is a hard thing to define. And I don't know if it's just the difference in personality between Tata Martino and Frank DeBoer, but it never clicked the same way in that way, the feel of it. It's one of the hardest things to quantify when you're going into picking a manager, but it's also one of the most important.
No question. But I think it was pretty clear that you were getting a different type of a personality and a different type of cultural personality with DeBoer.
Absolutely.
No question. Last one before I let you go. Why has it been such a struggle, in your opinion? You know, you've watched Atlanta United more than anybody. Why has it been a struggle for Pitti Martinez? We're talking about the South American Player of the Year adjusting to Major League Soccer, which we know is difficult sometimes. We've seen others fail. Why has it been so hard for Pitti?
He's a special player, and, you know, talking about that comfort level, that's something he had with Marcelo Gallardo at River Plate, somebody that I think understood him as a player. Because Pitti's not typical. He's almost a little bit of a throwback in some ways to that old school number 10, that Argentine enganche. You have to play everything through him. You have to feed him in the final third. And you also have to be willing to accept that, you know, he's going to try things and he's going to make mistakes, but he's also capable of spectacular plays that just very few players are. That's the trade-off. I don't know if that was a great fit for Frank DeBoer, because he talked about it consistently in the middle of last season. He wanted Pitti to put work in on the defensive end. He talked about also not giving the ball away in bad spots, which was something that Pitti struggled with early last season. I also think last season, the end was great for Pitti Martinez. he was one of the most impactful players in the league down the stretch, creating chances consistently. First half of the year, I think he was on fumes. After the year that River Plate had at the end of 2018 with the Libertadores final, with the World Club Cup, with everything that happened with that final, just how much it took out of him. He didn't really have much of an off season, and he just looked tired. He looked like he was pressing and looked like he was trying to live up to the headlines. This year, it's been really good early, but I think Pitti is one of those players that he looks better with Joseph Martinez as somebody he can play off of. Those two were really in sync early on, especially in the CONCACAF Champions League round of 16 with Motagua. Great interplay between the two. When they lost Joseph, it felt like Pitti went back to that player who was pressing because he knew that there was a big piece missing from this team. He was trying to do that himself, not his game, and he wasn't bringing others into the game, into the team.
That's a great point on Martinez and playing off each other because that is the health sometimes of the great soccer player. I don't think there's any question. So to your point about Gallardo, so when are we going to announce Atlanta United Marcelo Gallardo as the next coach because of the superstar Pitti Martinez? And he'll get the most out
of it. He's a very interesting one, isn't he?
Come on. Come on. I wouldn't put it past Atlanta United.
I wouldn't either. And you know, we heard that Gallardo was in the running for the Miami job. We've heard that there were conversations, ultimately didn't take it. Situation's completely changed now. He is reportedly under contract to the end of 2021, but Argentina and the economy and what they're dealing with this pandemic, they're struggling. And River might be willing, and he might be willing, to make that change now. I just wonder if there's not going to be a European club that comes in for him, because you know, you're hearing Del Bosque, you're hearing Guardiola talk Gallardo up. Now, there's going to be big clubs knock on his door. Can Atlanta get in there first? Love to see it if it can happen.
And would that be the better stepping stone ultimately to Europe when it comes to the coaching plan and sort of the journey? Well, listen, Jason, tremendous stuff as usual. You take us into good areas. We really, really appreciate it. That's Jason Longshore, the color analyst of Atlanta United on their 92.9 The Game broadcast, host of Soccer Down Under. Jason, you're the best. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, that's Jason Longshore. Love talking to him. Brought us some great points there. One of the big ones was Joseph Martinez. If he's out there, he bangs in a few goals. Maybe Frank De Boer is still there. Win a couple more games. Taking a break. We got more to come. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Stay with us when we come back. Switch over to Houston Dash. Celebration time with Shea Groom and Rachel Daly.
State your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5 presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston.